5 tomorrow, 82 on Friday. Richard Wedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And not down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Wild Card Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well. Plenty to dive into today. I don't even know where to start, Chase. We got SEC spring meetings going on down in Destin, Florida. We've got softball coming up. I saw you were at the airport, it looked like. Is that where, were you at the airport or was that somewhere else?
Yes, I was at the airport.
That's what I thought. We had Chase covering the team at the airport as they got ready to board their plane, headed out to the College World Series. We'll talk a little bit about that at some point. In about 10 minutes or so, we got Lance Cormier joining the show. Talk some Alabama baseball as they will be hosting their regional this weekend in Tuscaloosa. So we got a number of things we want to dive into, but a lot of media coming out of Destin. SEC spring meeting still going on. Heard from head coach Kalen DeBoer yesterday. We'll probably play that, or at least part of his press conference at some point during the show. We'll respond to it. I see that Ryan Coleman-Williams has spoken to Chris Lowe. There's a lot of stuff from that article we can dive into. Kirby Smart had some interesting comments. We've been talking about this whole 2014 playoff deal. Kirby almost, I don't know, took it a step further and threw out the idea that, hey, maybe the SEC could eventually just branch off and kind of do its own thing, which is not the first time we've heard something like that. But to hear a SEC head coach come out and say that during SEC spring meetings definitely caught a lot of people's attention. So we'll dive into a number of topics here on the show. You still got the conference finals going on in the NBA, Chase. I know you've been keeping up with it a little bit. I don't know if you guys got to watch that game last night. OKC is, I don't know, man. I want the Spurs to win. I don't know why. I'm not a Spurs fan or anything. I was talking to my uncle about this. Shout out to my uncle, man. He's in town and he's come down here. He's hanging out for a little bit this week, man. And we're watching the game. Sean Gillis, whatever, SG, I don't know, man. Like, I hear all the talk about him, and I don't keep up a whole bunch with the NBA, but all I hear about him, you know, is number one, with the MVPs, of course, you know, salute to him, got to give credit where it's due. But then people are just talking about the whole flopping thing, man, and I can understand the frustrations around him as a player. I hate to say that, but the NBA is hard for me to really get into. Because I already was thinking, even before this guy, I always was just like, man, the NBA, I feel like at this point, like, if you breathe on a guy wrong, they call a foul. And with him, I feel like it's just been taken to a whole different level. Chase, do you feel that same way, or am I hating right now?
It's annoying at this point, Christian. If you look back at SGA when he started with the Clippers, if you look at his jump shots and when he was drive, he was rarely on the floor. He had a good, like, base whenever he would... He was on the floor. Nowadays, I could literally bet how many times he's going to fall on the floor. And it makes it harder for defenders to put their feet underneath him, because it's like if they give him too much space, he's going to score. But if they're on up on him, he's going to get a shooting foul, or it's going to be at the free throw line, like, I don't know, every quarter. So I understand your gripe, because a lot of fans are just like, at this point, give the refs an OKC jersey at this point. Just call it a day, because it's ruined the series for me, honestly. I was watching the highlights this morning, and a lot of the Spurs players are just looking around like, what do you want us to do? Like, one of the best players in the league who won the MVP, Christian, you're just like hands up in the air.
Yeah, and listen, as a LeBron fan myself, everybody always, excuse me, loves to complain about LeBron and getting calls and all this, but I mean, this dude might have him beat. At this point, I definitely think he does. Regardless, OKC is now one game away from advancing to the finals, where they would take on the Knicks, who haven't been there, I think, since, what, 99? Haven't won since, like, 73. I know there's a lot of Knicks fans out there. Stephen A. Smith is one of the biggest ones. Speaking of Stephen Smiths, we got Stephen M. Smith. I think he's Wednesdays. He said he wanted to start joining us, man. He didn't show up last week, so maybe we got to send him a message, but we'll see if we hear from him. Anyway, there's plenty of stuff going on in the sports world, so we'll dive into some of this. But like I mentioned, excuse me if I could get my throat cleared for a second. Well, a number of articles coming out that I want to talk about and break down. I don't even know if we'll have time to do everything today on the show, but I definitely know we will get to the Kalen DeBoer press conference. A number of things that he spoke about, they asked him about his thoughts on the whole expansion talk. Pretty much just a general answer there, just kind of, hey, I'm all about just winning the most games possible in order to not have to put that in the committee's hands. So no surprises there. But he did talk a little bit about the physicality of the team again. That keeps coming up. Clearly people want to keep asking him about that, and I get it, rightfully so. His answer with that one kind of surprised me just a little bit, if I'm being honest with you. It sounds like he's either A, getting tired of hearing that question, or B, he feels a little bit different than some other folks do when it comes to the physicality, the toughness and intensity of his team. So we'll hear a little bit of that later on once we get to that press conference. But I mentioned Lance Cormier again. He'll be joining us in a few minutes here. We want to talk a little bit of baseball. We didn't get a chance to do that a whole bunch over, I guess, the course of the regular season. But with them having the regionals coming up, I know they had the disappointing loss to Florida early last week in Birmingham at the SEC Men's Baseball Tournament. But with regionals coming up, I wanted to talk a little bit of baseball. Why not do it with none other than Lance Cormier, who calls games. He actually played baseball here at the University of Alabama. I'm sure you guys are familiar with Lance, but he's a friend of the show, man. Really great guy. And I've been meaning to get him on here to start talking some baseball. And so I figured, why not do it now as we are getting ready for regionals? So we'll definitely have that to throw at you. For all you guys that do keep up with baseball, which I'm sure you guys do, if you're like me, you just kind of dibble and dabble in a number of different things. Speaking of baseball, I do know our friends over at R&R Cigars are huge baseball fans. So shout out to R&R Cigars. You got Father's Day coming up. Make sure you guys check them out. Great Father's Day gift. Go on that website, rnrcigars.com. You can put in your order. Use that code Miller's Edge. Get yourself 20% off of your order. And if it qualifies, you also can get free shipping. And of course, if you are in town, make sure you stop by the mansion right there, 2703 Gary Fitz Street. You can't miss it. Big White Mansion on the corner downtown. They've got the best humidor in the Southeast. They've got over 160 bourbons for you guys to try. Drink responsibly. Nice wraparound porch. TVs throughout. They love sports. Always got them on. Go kick back and relax and have yourself a good time and a good stick and a nice drink. Again, just do it responsibly right there at R&R Cigars, the official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014. The other thing I do need to throw out there, Chase, that we also could dive into is there's just so much going on right now. I don't even know where to start at this point. The whole, I guess, talk about there being legislation, right? Some action being taken in order to kind of, I guess, clean up college athletics. We've been talking a whole bunch about it. Well, now this thing is starting to grow some legs here. The latest that we have, this comes from Ross Dellinger. This was, he just tweeted this about 42 minutes ago. It offers some insight on these, I guess, this groundbreaking legislation that we could potentially see in the very near future. Senators Ted Cruz, Maria Cantwell, they're the ones that I guess are leading the charge with this whole deal. And it's going to actually include a number of different things, including Title IX transfer rules, one-time transfer rules, five-year eligibility, and a pro player ban. We talked a lot about the pro players in basketball coming and playing at the college level. I don't know how long that's going to last or if LSU and their basketball team is even going to get a chance to see it come to fruition if this, in fact, does get, passed through. A hard cap, 5% max agent fee. That's interesting. I hadn't heard of that one just yet. Lane Kiffin rule, optional pooling of TV rights, and also prohibiting a Super League and even more. So we can even dive into that. But we got to hit a timeout first. When we come back, we'll be joined by Lance Cormier. We'll talk a little bit of baseball. We'll get on rolling. We got plenty to talk about. Want to do it with you guys. 205-342-9904. Feel free to hit us up on the phone lines. Love to get you guys in on the action. But first, with this timeout, we keep on rolling. We come back right here on the Miller.
Powered by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Find adventure, power, and performance today at Tuscaloosa Jeep Dodge Ram.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Compact tractors sell in soon. Stop by Tuscaloosa Tractor at 3921 Skyland Boulevard East or go to Kubota.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States.
United States.
And from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers,
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers.
Who are resilient.
And won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
It's possible. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Follow the Crimson Tide on their journey to another national championship.
Touchdown, Alabama!
On your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
TBC. We're joined by our first guest of the day. We got Lance Cormier on the show, good friend of ours, and first time joining the show. So, Lance, welcome in, man. Glad to have you here on the Miller's Edge.
No, appreciate you guys having me, man.
Absolutely, man. Hope everything's been well. I know it's been a while, man. We need to catch up, but I know with baseball coming around and you got the regionals this weekend, I was like, man, I've been meaning to get Lance on the show. Let me see if he'd be down to jump on. So I'm glad we can make it work. And I know you're a little crunch for time. I know you're a busy man, but definitely and very excited to get your thoughts. And Lance, I want to start here because I know we're limited on time, man. You keep up with Alabama baseball. You played here. I mean, I know you call games. And just from your perspective so far this season, I know a lot of people have been impressed with the job that Rob Vaughn has done. Definitely been some ups and downs throughout the year. But overall, a lot of people really excited about the direction of this baseball program. I know they had the little early exit in Birmingham last week, but overall, when you look back on this season to this point, Lance, how would you assess it?
Man, if you're an Alabama fan, you need to be excited about what Rob Vaughn's done. And, you know, you start to – and, shoot, Rob's been openly about it in the media. Like, one bad weekend, they want to fire you. The next bad – you know, another weekend later, it's good. And, like, you're all great. But, like, that's just the beauty of fandom. You know, that's why we're called fanatics, right? And so – but this program has been really good this year. And the biggest thing, it's been consistent. Because when you look at things, you know, when you look at I think it was 15th of 16th in the SEC in hitting, dead last in fielding, and you go, wait up, you're really bad in two of those, and you won 18 ball games in the regular, in the conference season, you're going, well, dang, pitching must have been really good. And it really was. I mean, fourth in the league, and you know, for the most part, pitchers carried him. The offense was there when it needed to be. And that's without having an outstanding year from, you know, quote unquote, their best player, Justin LeBron. So it's one of those where if all of a sudden, and I just got off an interview in Florida about, hey, like, doesn't matter what you've done for me now. Like, you go up now, the postseason is a new season, right? 0-0-0 batting average, and you go out there and you get hot. Boy, this is how you make a name for yourself. And, you know, what better time for LeBron to kind of forget about how the season's going? Because, I mean, he probably is as hard on himself as anybody else. And so this lineup is good. The pitching staff is good. They're headed in the right direction, you know, getting this top eight national seed after, how many years in a row? I mean, they hosted in 2023. So I know there's going to be a good crowd. It was the 2023 regional was awesome before they went to Wake Forest and lost in that super regional, but the crowd, the energy, everything in the stadium was really nice. So I expect it to be the same way. And especially with softball having their regional, super regional, their atmosphere. And now guess what? The team's gone. So instead of you can come support the baseball team now.
Absolutely. And speaking of that regional back in 23, I attended those games, and you're right, man. It was really fun. And I kept up with that team that year. And It was a fun year. You mentioned that I think it was Wake Forest. They went on the road there, but man, definitely a fun year. And hopefully they can kind of recreate some of that excitement that they did then. Like you said, they've got a lot of stuff going for them right now, but they did have a little bit of a hiccup in Birmingham at the SEC men's baseball tournament. What did you get out of that when they met Florida and then they unfortunately fell short early on?
Now, I don't take anything from, to me, the conference tournament, it only can help you. I don't think it can hurt you in a sense of how you feel about what you've done. It's a matter of, I mean, like, you can go all the way back to, like, 2022 when Mississippi State won the national title. They went 2-2 at the SEC tournament, and people were just all over how bad it was. But, like, when you talk to some of the players, they're like, no, we actually went home. We got to rest. We actually got to work out. We did some things that we haven't really gotten a chance to do all season. And so they felt good. Now, as fans, yeah, you want to see your team win all the time, and none of these coaches are going to say, yeah, we're okay with going one game and done. But, I mean, wasn't much travel for the boys. You know, that's the beauty of being so close to Birmingham. But you look at Texas, terrible showing. You think Jim Schlossnagel at Texas feels bad about his program? No. That was a one game, one problem. They didn't start who they wanted to start. Florida's hot. You know, so Alabama ran into a tough ball club. They had swept them. So, you know, Florida had some revenge factor games, right? Florida had actually played some of the worst baseball they had played all season when it came to that weekend. So I don't look at anything that happened in Birmingham in the negative way. You know, some teams like Arkansas made a good run. Auburn stuck around for a little bit, had a couple good wins. You know, Georgia continued to do, obviously they went there with a purpose. You know, they wanted to be the double champion, right? And that's kind of been the theme. I think we look at, there was like 8 double champions over the course of the leagues around the country, so that's really cool. But yeah, I don't put any stock in how the one game in Hoover went.
We're joined by Lance Cormier, former Alabama pitcher and, of course, MLB pitcher as well. Lance, you mentioned Justin LeBron. We know how special of a talent he is. I know he's had a little bit of an up and down year as well, had a couple moments where I think he had that head injury, missed some time. Where do you see him after this year? I mean, we all know the talent that he is. I mean, do you still see him being, as you know, one of those top prospects coming up in an MLB draft?
Yeah, no question. I mean, there's no doubt he will be. Now it's just a matter of how high he goes. I mean, it could be anywhere from, you know, heck, we at the beginning of the year, you were thinking 2, 3, 4, right? Now, is it 10? Is it 8? Is it 16? I don't know. And none of that really matters except for that first little paycheck. But, like, Justin LeBron is not thinking about necessarily the signing bonus. Like, this guy's going to play in the big leagues. Like, and that's where you truly make your career, is when you make it to the big league. So, I don't know who's going to get him. It's one of those where whoever does, they're going to be happy. Like, it's not a point where they're going to be like, oh, well, we had to pick. No, like, they're going to be excited. They got a chance to get an extremely talented and, you know, when it comes to athleticism, like, it's unbelievable, like, what he can do on the baseball field. Now, there's some things he's got to clean up in his swing, and he would probably know the same. He would probably tell you that. And if that happens, then you are going to get the guy that was projected into the top 5 picks of the draft. But there's been some holes in his swing. I don't know if it's putting pressure because the defense hasn't been as consistent. There's been some absolute wow moments on the defensive side, but then there's been some plays where you're like, man, how did he make that error, right? And so that's the tough part. But a lot of guys will put pressure on themselves that junior year because they feel like they have to lead up to those expectations and rise up to them. Like, you really don't. Just be the player you are, because he's an outstanding ball player, good head on his shoulders. And sometimes you see guys maybe try to do too much. And that's something that when you look at it, you're like, well, man, there's other guys around him, and he's starting to see. And that's the beauty of it. Imagine if he has the year that Alabama fans thought he could have, he thought he could have, where this offense would be, how many more wins it could have been, right? And now you're talking, hey, a top 4 national seed, and you're talking tops in the conference. Like, that's what it could have been. But all that's over because you still are a top 8 seed. You're still hosting both the regional and super regional if you're able to move on. So everything's in front of Alabama. So no matter what it is, you know, those guys are able to flush what the season was and restart now. So, I mean, I look for him to be an exciting player. He's one of the most exciting players still playing in the game right now. And as he leaves, which I'm going to go out on a limb, he probably won't be back in Tuscaloosa. So they need to enjoy the Justin LeBron portion of his Alabama career this weekend, if they were to move on the next weekend, because I don't think he's going to don an Alabama uniform after this year's over.
Lance, speaking of his journey to the pros, and again, that's everybody's dream, right? But one thing I do know is in baseball, it's a lot different, right? I mean, I spent some time in the NFL, but you, listen, you with call, you know how this works with football. I mean, you play in college, and if you get drafted, great, or you can sign an undrafted deal, and that's pretty much all you got. You got the practice squad. But with you guys with baseball, right, I mean, you spent a number of years playing professionally, but I also know there's a lot of guys, Lance, that, I mean, they hear their name drafted, but they spend years and years, whether it's, you know, single A, double A, triple A, working up the ladder, just in the hopes of getting, you know, to the big leagues or at least an opportunity. For you, what was that like, just, you know, trying to work your way and climb and just knowing it, even once you kind of get drafted or you get somewhat of an opportunity with baseball, man, it could be years before you really have that true breakthrough. What was that like? I'm curious.
Man, it's a grind. I got married right after college, right? You know, the draft, college, all that ended, graduated, got drafted, got married in like a 6-week time frame. First 10 years, the 10 years that I played ball, my wife and I had 49 different moves. Like, it's a grind. It's something that you got to have. Obviously, everybody's got talent when you go to the next level, right? I mean, everybody has it. You know, doesn't matter if you're a first round, a 40th round, you're good. You're good enough to play at the next level. You got to have the luck on your side. You got to have things go your way as much as anything. And, you know, certain organizations move guys a lot faster. And then if you're in the right organization and the one guy gets hurt in the big leagues, and then you kind of, the trickle up happens. And then, so it's just a lot of things that have to just go your way. But I mean, then you also have to, obviously, when you get those chances, you take advantage. And so it can be an absolute grind of a career, but so worth it, man, when you get the opportunity to go out there and play. But when you look at it, it's like, hey, like, we've been playing this game since we were little, and it's still a game, even though when you become a professional, you are a number, you're a business number, and you're tied to a certain number, and so it's a business. But when you get on the field, man, it's still a game, and it's still what we love to do. And what, like, I mean, I love to talk about it, I love to watch it, I love to, heck, somebody say, let's go throw right now, like, I'm in. I mean, that's just in our nature. And so that's the beauty of it. And so when you get an opportunity to play, man, like, you just keep going, and you just keep showing up, and you put your head down. You don't worry about the extra, you know, curricular things and all the outside noises. You just play. And the good guys that keep playing, you know, they were a little lucky, maybe a little bit better, but, like, you got to have a lot of things fall in your corner. And the biggest thing, though, is you just got to keep believing in yourself, because it's a game of failure. And there's a lot of people that are in your corner that won't be in your corner, and then they'll come back to your corner. You just got to have yourself grounded. I mean, like, faith, a good support system. I mean, all that is instrumental when it comes to making it through the minor leagues. Now, you see guys go up through the minor leagues a lot faster these days because of the development at some of these bigger universities. You know, when it comes to the SEC and the ACC, just what the amenities that these guys have and how they're treated. So you start to see guys climb a little bit faster. But, man, it's a fun thing to do. If you get an opportunity, that's why you see guys just try to play as long as they can, because, I mean, any time in the big leagues is great. And if you're able to get there and make a little career, man, it's special and memorable.
Wow. Really cool stuff, Lance. Listen, we're going to have to do this more often. I know you got a hard out right here. I know you got some stuff to get to, but I would definitely want to do it again. We'll get you back on, because I know you got a son that's also playing the college level, and I would love to talk about that and just kind of what you're doing. And speaking of that, before we let you go, man, I know you're doing some finance stuff. I know you also are calling, like you said. Let everybody know how they can keep up with everything that you have going right now.
Yeah, man. Secondary job, obviously, is getting to talk about baseball on ESPN, and that's fun and everything, but primary job is as a financial advisor. I'm with Patterson Andrews Wealth Management. I mean, you can Google that and easily contact me. I'm on the, you know, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. And so really cool. But I mean, we're seeing the industry just help people, man. Like, no matter where you're at in the financial thing, if you're wanting to get started, or if you're at the moment where you're retiring and heading into distribution mode, man, like, we're just in there in the business to help people and help their families out.
Love it, man. Love it. Well, I appreciate you coming on here, man, and talking some baseball with me. We'll do it again soon, and we'll definitely look forward to that. Lance, thank you so much, man.
Absolutely, man. Anytime you guys want.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Take care, brother. Good deal. Our guy, Lance Cormier, former Alabama pitcher, former professional pitcher as well, like you heard him, working with some folks in the finance world, taking care of some folks. Hey, you young athletes out there, you need to holler at Lance, man. Let him help you out. If you guys definitely need some of that financial management, he's got you. He's got you covered. All right, we got to hit timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Mike Dettillier. We'll talk to Aaron Torres. We'll talk to Nick Kelly live from SEC Spring Meetings. Coming up starting at 2 p.m. on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Longest-running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
TBC. All right, so we just got done talking with Lance Cormier, former Alabama pitcher, spent time in the MLB for a while. Now he helps call games for ESPN, and he also works in wealth management. So really cool stuff, man. Make sure you guys check him out. So let's switch gears a little bit, because SEC spring meetings are going on currently, and there's been a lot of things that have been coming out, Reed, right? I mean, we've talked a little bit about some of it throughout, I guess, the past day or so, but even just after we got off the show yesterday, I mean, I heard Kirby Smart have some comments. I mean, there's a number of things. I know Kalen DeBoer spoke, and we had that whole press conference about 15 minutes long, so we probably won't play the entire video. But I guess the biggest thing coming from it, they asked, and I'll be honest with you, Reed, I don't know if you listened to it, but there wasn't really anything like explosive from what he had to say. For the most part, it really was just, you know, he just kind of gave an answer about his, I guess, thoughts on the playoff expansion. Didn't really have a preference, just, hey, we just want to win as many football games as possible, so we're not leaving it in the hands of the committee. He did speak a little bit about the physicality of the football team. And I will say that was one thing, and I know we keep talking about it, and he's probably sick and tired of talking about it. It's probably like beating a dead horse. They know where they need to improve. They understand that they need to get better in certain areas. But one thing that kind of was interesting, Reed, was when he was asked about that, he kind of segued a little bit more into, well, you know, basically it sounded like he was saying a lot of people pin it on just the physicality or the lack of physicality, but he kind of threw more of it onto an execution piece. So, and then he even went as far as basically complimenting his team and saying at times he thought they were extremely physical. And so I'm probably going to pull that part up here in a minute. But before I do that, I do know that Kirby Smart had some comments as well that led to a number of I guess, discussions. Matter of fact, Paul Feinbaum had had something to say about it. But basically that was, I guess, the potential of the SEC breaking off and doing their own thing. Reed, did you get a chance to hear what Kirby Smart had to say regarding that?
Yeah, it was quite interesting. And I feel like that's a pretty bold statement that I'm hoping that he could back up.
Well, I don't know if it, I mean, it'd probably take a little bit more than just him wanting to do that. But this is what Kirby had to say. And we'll get to Kalen DeBoer's piece in a second. But Kirby Smart on the SEC breaking away of national rules can't be agreed upon, which, remember, they are actively working on a number of rules. We talked about that in the opening segment, that they're trying to pass a number of things, and we'll talk about that in a second. Again, we got a million things we'll try to dive into throughout the show, which we got the whole week. We'll do it. Trust me, we got plenty of time. But this is what Kirby Smart said. I've said this for a long time to our president. I've been a huge advocate that if we cannot find rules that everybody plays by, then we should play on our own. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid to break away and say that our conference is strong enough to go out and play. Now, he's not the first person to make this comment. We've heard other people basically throw this out there that, hey, man, why don't the SEC just break off and do their own thing? I mean, they're the biggest, the baddest, the strongest conference, top to bottom. They got all these great teams. They've even talked about the Big Ten and the SEC breaking off. And with there being a little bit of a standoff right now with the whole 16 teams versus 24 teams, people are going to kind of bring these things up. But clearly, Reed, I'll be honest with you, I don't think this is something that happens anytime soon. But I do believe that if you do keep having instances where there is a disconnect, you can't agree upon 16, 24 teams, these rights, those rights, this cap, that cap, eventually you could see the potential of something happening like this down the road. Matter of fact, this is what Paul Feinbaum, he was asked about Kirby Smart's comments, and this is what he had to say.
He'd be the first letters in the word secession when it comes to college football. Is that what you think Kirby was intimating yesterday?
Yeah, I heard an idea floated yesterday. And Greeny, you have to go back, what, 60 years to where the NFL and the AFL were separate, and they met in what is now called the Super Bowl. I don't think it's realistic right now, but there's so many people here unhappy with where we are, and it's so complicated. A year ago when we talked, everybody was talking about the House settlement. Remember that, saving college sports? Now, I had a college president tell me yesterday, we are worse off today than we are. So that's why you're hearing this type of talk, right?
All right, so he just said they're worse off, our president, I believe, said they're worse off than they were. He kind of gave an example of back in the day, was it the NFL or the whatever? I can't remember you get the point, right? They met up in the Super Bowl. Reed, what do you think is the likelihood of this eventually happening? Now, again, things are moving fast. Just to give you a quick recap, I mean, 2014, you went from the BCS to the 4-team playoff. That lasted about 10 or so years. Then you moved to a 12-team expansion. But instead of waiting another 10 years, or at least, you know, enough time to let it really marinate, 2 years later, we're already talking about a potential 24-team playoff where things double. Now you've got some conflict between presidents, athletic directors, coaches. People can't agree upon things. And now you've even got coaches coming out and saying, hey, hell, we can't agree on stuff. We might as well pack it up and take our ball somewhere else. What do you think the likelihood of something like that happening is, Reed?
Christian, it's hard to say just now and I keep going back to this example of, I feel like more has happened in college athletics in the last 5 years than there has in the last 50 years, right? Just with how fast this game has just developed, right? So I don't want to say that it'll never happen, right? But my question is, I'm having a hard time trying to understand and comprehend what that exactly would look like. So until I can at least get some type of, I guess, more clarity on that, I'm going to say it's not. But kind of like the same thing with regarding, let's just say, that 2014 playoff, right? I did not know what it could look like until I was shown an example. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, I was kind of thinking that when he was talking about it, or when I first heard it too, because I'm like, all right, you break off, you're doing your own thing. I mean, you got a number of teams. What, SEC's up to 16 total teams. I mean, 8-8, right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess you just keep it like it is right now, the SEC deal. But in terms of crowning like a national champion, do you still have the opportunity to do that? I mean, that part, I don't really know. I guess the whole thing is, if you do break off, you wouldn't necessarily be participating in any type of playoff system with the rest of the folks, because that's the whole point of breaking off. So that, I don't know. I mean, unless you just say the top team from the SEC could maybe play whoever is crowned the national champion over there, then come up with an, I don't know. So to your point, I don't know exactly how that would look. But I mean, I feel like if they're throwing that out there, they have to have some type of idea, which I don't know. Maybe we'll get some more details on that. We're due for a timeout, so let's do this. We'll hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll see if there's some more details on that, of course. And we'll also hear from head coach Kalen DeBoer. He spoke at SEC Spring, the meetings down there in Destin. We'll cover a couple of things that he had to say. Nothing really huge, to be honest with you, but we got to cover it. He is the head coach here. And we also will get to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Hunter lined up. Others, you guys, are coming up right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTVC.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Mike Dettillier. We'll talk to Aaron Torres. We'll talk to Nick Kelly live from SEC Spring Meetings. Coming up starting at 2 p.m. on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Longest-running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors who are
bracelets, earrings, and precious gemstones for all occasions.
In the Tuscaloosa Galleria between Edgar's and Joey's and FincherandOsment.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
Proud. What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are a kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Moisture surging in from the south will trigger likely showers and storms this afternoon, reaching 86, which is right on target for our normal for this time of the year. Storms will remain a threat tonight, lows tonight near 70. Unsettled pattern continues through the rest of the week with a series of disturbances keeping rain chances high, 85 tomorrow, 82 on Friday. Richard Wedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Catch every game and every moment right here. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Edge Tide 100.9 1230 WTBC. I'm still trying to figure out what day of the week it is, Reed. I'm kind of all over the place. I had a long, very stressful week last week, and then you got Memorial Day weekend, and it's throwing off my routine. Not my routine. Routine's fine, but I just my days are all mixed up. I got to get back on track. Good news is, hey man, we're rolling. We got dog days of summer. Football is officially kind of back, and not back in the sense that you guys can watch it, but the football team is back on campus working out, and they are in full gear pretty much, taking classes and kicking asses on the practice field, but not practicing against each other, just running and doing sprints and, I guess, burning up in the hot heat, lifting weights and all that good stuff. Anyway, all right, 205-342-9904. Let's go to the phone lines. When we come back for hour number two, we'll listen to Kalen DeBoer's press conference at the SEC spring meetings, plus plenty more to dive into. But we got Hunter lined up, and I don't want to leave him waiting too long. So, Hunter, welcome in, man.
What up, Christian?
What's up, man?
Not much.
Talk to me.
Did you hear what Lane Kiffin said about Bama yesterday, or no?
So, are you talking about the part where he says about Coach Saban was like forced to retire?
Bama forced him to retire.
Or did he say something else? I mean, listen, he said so many different things that are a little like kind of out of the box and then pot stirring comments that I don't even know which one you're referring to. So which of the controversial comments of Lane Kiffin are you referring to right now?
It's where he said that Bama forced Saban to retire.
Okay. All right. Let's break this down for a second. I read what he said, but I did not hear it. Right. So, let me see if I can find where he said it, because I want to hear how he said it. But I did read that he said something like that. Do I believe that Alabama forced Coach Saban to retire? No, absolutely
not.
Hell no. No, they definitely. You know, they had a dream about Coach Saban last night. I promise to God, it's funny this comes up. No, but it wasn't nothing crazy. It literally was it was football based. I was leaving like the Panthers practice field. Like I went up there to watch practice, and then Minka was like playing for the Panthers, and Coach Saban was like walking in to like watch practice too as I was leaving. And he like made a joke because he was talking to Minka, and then he's like, oh, there's Christian. And then he was making a joke like saying we look like. It was the weirdest dream, but it was like nothing crazy. It was like something that would actually probably happen. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, sorry, that was random. I just thought of that. Anyway, so let me find where do you have an audio? Like, do you know where I can find the audio of him saying this? Because I want to make sure he actually said it the way he said it.
I just seen the text of it, and I'm like, this
has
got to be fake. And then I've seen it all over internet. I'm like, there's no way.
Here's the text. I just threw this on the screen. I'm glad you brought this up. So, and this is from Recruits Bama. So this is, I'm sure maybe this is what you also saw. But I see the Bama Center was asking where the quote originated too, because I don't know where specifically came from, but it does read, This isn't a marriage that's going to last forever. You could wish it would, and it's a feel-good story, but that happened. Maybe Nick Saban. Actually, it didn't, because right at the end, they made him retire. So that's what you're referring to. That's what I saw. I wanted to hear from him, but all right, enough of the word salad. What do I make of it? I think he just was talking, just kind of stirring the pot a little bit. Did they force Coach to retire? No. I mean, the story is, I mean, this is a true story. Coach Saban did not know if he was going to retire or return for another season until he literally made the decision 5-10 minutes before he addressed the media. Or not the media, excuse me, his team. Like, that's legit. That's what happened. Like, I know for a fact. I mean, he did not know if he was going to retire or not. He had pretty much two speeches drawn up or thought of or whatever the case was. He was either A, because this is what he always does. When it's the start of a new season, you have a team meeting. He comes in there. He talks about last year, the things that, you know, we need to do this offseason to focus on. Like, I've been in five of those. I know exactly how it goes. I know what meeting it is. And that's what happened. He had basically two speeches planned. He was either A, going to talk about returning and what they had planned and their goals for the following season, or he was going to announce that he was going to retire. And as he was, I guess, getting ready to address the team, he made the decision that he was going to go ahead and retire, which, again, is still the craziest thing to me, because you're talking about the most calculated guy I think I've ever met, the most routine, the most structured guy I've ever met. And you're telling me he basically on the fly just said, all right, I'm going to call it a career. It's the craziest thing to me. And I know a lot of people probably can't believe that, but that's pretty much what he did. Granted, I mean, I'm sure you've been thinking about it before this. But so that alone proves that no one forced him to retire, because the truth and the facts are, he had two options from himself. He gave himself those options to either coach again or retire. So no one forced him to do anything. I think it just all boils down to, he always said if he ever felt like if he was weighing down the program, which I would go as far as saying he clearly was not weighing down the program, but at 72, 73 years old with a new aspect added in NIL, and that was only increasing and adding more to just the whole recruiting aspect. Then you got roster retention. Then you got the transfer portal piece. I mean, dude, at 73 years old and the way that he ran a team and ran his culture, it wasn't going to happen. I mean, it could happen, but he would literally, I mean, dude, yeah. I mean, it's too much, man. Too much on him. What did you make of it?
I was like, Lane's just trying to get clicks, man. Like, I don't know, dude. Lane's a troll, so he's going
to. You don't think there's anything to it?
I don't know, man. Who knows with Lane Kiffin every day, man?
I mean, I don't think there was. I'm just curious if you thought there was anything at all.
Nah.
I mean, like, why he
man,
would?
Saban's old. Saban was old, man. Like you said, I mean, he warned college football 3-4 years ago, saying that NIL and all this is going to ruin everything, and he tried to tell everybody, and he didn't want to deal with this stuff.
So, yeah, no, I agree.
I like him at the desk that game day. So,
yeah, no, he's crushing it. He's doing a great job in the media, and he gets to spend plenty of time with his wife and his Terry. His grandkids are building the Saban Center. They're doing a lot of things with the Knicks Kids Foundation. That's exactly what he wants and where he needs to be honest with you. Again, if he was the type of coach or person that could say, hey, you know, I'm getting a little bit older, I'm going to have trusted people around me, I'm still going to coach, but I'm going to take a few, you know, slowly walk it back. Could he have done that? Of course. I mean, there's plenty of coaches that are old as hell, old as dirt, man, and they're still, you know, crawling around the hallway somehow. They just got a lot of people helping them out. I mean, he could have done stuff like that, but the problem is that's not him. That's not who he is. He doesn't operate like that. Like, it would drive him nuts having to sit there and just say, oh, I'm going to take a back seat and let other people do this for me. I mean, again, this guy had his hand on pretty much anything and everything you could think of around here. And he just, it's just too much. So, no, I mean, I think Lane was probably just, and it looks like it is legit. I see another source. I don't know how much you guys, you know, put, how much trust you put in the SEC Mike, but I mean, he does some bigger gigs, man. He also quoted that. So I maybe we just need to pull up Lane's whole press conference and hear it. I want to hear it from Lane, though. But he also mentioned some other things, too, about Ole Miss that he continues to stir the pot, man. He clearly does.
I heard he's under some fire with that. So the remarks he said about Ole Miss. So, yeah.
Maybe you know, the SEC is you know, trying to hold him accountable for some of the comments he's making. I highly doubt anybody at LSU probably cares. They probably could not care less, honestly. But they did mention, I guess, they were going to be discussing some penalties or some punishment for some of these comments addressed. Which, I mean, you got to have a little bit of order, man. You don't want things getting messy. I mean, from the media perspective, of course, it's great to have plenty of stuff to talk about, especially during the dog days of summer. But,
absolutely.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, I like Lane. Lane's cool. I'm cool with Lane. I like him, man. He's a cool dude to hang with. But sometimes, just like, brother, just be cool, man. Just relax. But there's bad blood between him and Ole Miss. And he's got a point that he wants to prove. He's going to have a chance to prove it, though. He's got to see them this year. Best believe I'm going to be watching that game. I don't know what time it is or how it kind of conflicts with other stuff.
Oh, it's going
to be. Even if Alabama's playing. Oh, shit. I'm just telling you. Even if Alabama's playing at the same time, brother, I'm going to have my phone right there. I am watching that game. I'm going to have my phone.
I got multiple TVs. So.
Listen, I've done it before. I'll be in the press box. They got Wi-Fi up there. I'll bring my whole iPad and put it right there and put my AirPods in, brother. I'm watching both. I got to see that. I got to see
May 27th at 12 o'clock, I'm calling Ole Miss beats LSU. I don't care. I'm just saying
that. You're saying Ole Miss is going to win? I mean, they got Trinidad Chainless. They got Lacey at running. They got some dudes, man. I mean, I don't think that's like a hot take. It's year one for him.
Do you really expect Ole Miss to lose Lane Kiffin in Oxford? No.
Listen, I don't expect it, but sometimes you know, Coach Tatum used to always tell us this, man. You want to play with emotion, but you don't want to play emotional. So you got to be careful about that, right? Because sometimes when you play emotional, you end up making mistakes that you typically wouldn't make, and you end up getting penalties that you shouldn't have. So I mean, I don't know. I think there's going to be a lot of emotion in that game, man. So I think it's just about who can manage what. Can LSU handle that environment, huh?
They said Lane needs Secret Service walking into Oxford. It's
going to
be so bad,
Mike. Well, if you've seen how those students act, he probably should watch his back. I mean, that ain't got nothing to do with me. I am not threatening Lane Kiffin in any way. I'm just saying, just them kids are a little out of control in Oxford. I've seen some crap that they do. And best believe, the way he's talking, them kids are definitely going to try to harass him. I don't know what they'll do, but they're going to do something.
I mean, Tennessee already threw golf balls at him.
Bro, that might be a little bit worse than golf balls this time, man. This is getting a little ugly. Yeah. Might be bricks or something a little bit bigger. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe hopefully not. That's a little bit too far. Hunter, I appreciate you, man. I'm going to find this clip. We're going to try to hear Lane say it himself. And thank you for reminding me about that. Appreciate you, man. Good stuff. Feel bad I kind of hogged all his time there, but I'm still in disbelief, man. Lane just never never fails to amaze. All right, we got a timeout. We come back, we'll hear from head coach Kalen DeBoer and hear what he had to say at the SEC spring meetings and more coming up right here on the Miller's Edge. Title 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
In the NBA playoffs, Oklahoma City now leads 3-2 in the West Finals after beating the Spurs 127-114. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with 32 points on free throws. He was 16-17. With Jalen Williams out again due to a sore hamstring, Jared McCain scored 20 points. The NBA's Coach of the Year is Joe Mazzulla of Boston, 62 votes to 29 over the Pistons' J.B. Bickerstaff. The WNBA was off. In the NHL, Vegas
completed a four-game sweep in the West Final, holding on 2-1 over Colorado, which had the league's best record in the regular season. The L.A. Chargers gave safety Derwin James a three-year extension. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes returned to the field at OTAs after knee surgery. Packers running back Josh Jacobs was arrested. He's facing five domestic abuse charges. And in Major League Baseball, blowout victories for the Dodgers and Yankees.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
Proud from our home base in Birmingham, Alabama.
We are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Wednesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. All right, so we got to hear from head coach Kalen DeBoer, so we can do that real quick. I know I want to find this whole Lane Kiffin thing, but what we'll do is we'll listen to Coach DeBoer first and hear what he had to say, and then we'll dive in or dive back into that Lane Kiffin thing if we get a chance just to see what else he said. Because I know he mentioned a number of different things that made some headlines. But let's hear what our head coach Kalen DeBoer had to say when he spoke to the press yesterday at the SEC spring meetings.
All right. Good morning. Hope you guys are all having a good summer. And it's crazy how quick time flies, but an important month ahead here for us, you know, in a lot of ways. So big recruiting month, official visits starting this weekend, not just for us, but I know the entire country. And, you know, we've got the team starting workouts here. They're back from a short break here in May, and they hit the ground running. Had a lot of guys do stick around even when they could get away. So really pleased with kind of the mindset that we've developed, continue to grow amongst this team here this season. And then just, you know, getting the opportunity to continue to develop these guys. We've got meetings and workouts that we can work with them on. So big month there. And then the season will be around the corner, but I'm just really proud of our staff. You know, we brought in a number of transfers, and I think just finding the right guys, first of all, and helping them really, you know, build into our environment. These guys have adjusted well, our transfers adjusted well, and they, you know, I think now they're almost even, you know, being empowered to become leaders along with the guys that, you know, continue to lead the charge that have been in the program for at least a year, 2 years. We have really only 9 seniors this year on our football team, but we do have a big group of guys in that have 2 years left. I'm not going to say juniors, but guys that have 2 years left. And so there's around 19 players kind of in that category and close to 25 that have been on the football field for us in some capacity that have 3 years left. So a lot of experience returning. I feel good about that. We're not necessarily an old team, but we have a lot of guys that have taken valuable snaps that are looking forward to taking that next step. You know, I think just when it comes to the recruiting, kind of hitting back, going back to that, you know, really looking forward to build on what we've done. These young guys that I'm referring to in the first two classes, they've kind of stayed the course and believe in what we're doing, what we're building. And we got to find the next group. It won't be a big group this fall. I think it will be, you know, much less than what we've had the last two seasons. But a lot of that's because we have retained well and, again, brought in a group of transfers and don't have many seniors. So we'll open for questions.
How do you measure the value of reaching the SEC championship game versus the potential detriment with the attrition that's, mm-hmm. that's taking place in that game over the years?
The attrition in which way?
Injuries.
Okay, that's what I thought. You know, for me, this is a personal thing. It was really important for me, and I know we fell well short in the conference championship, but it was important for me being my first SEC, you know, championship opportunity. Having only been in the league, went on the second year at the time. You know, I think that our team really felt strong about winning it when you're in that moment. I think, you know, looking back on it, there are some things that were just a struggle when you look at kind of where the team was at physically, whether it was before or after. And but that's part of it. You know, our opponent, Georgia, had the same situation. They did a better job, obviously, of being ready for that game, however you want to put it. But, you know, we're going to learn from that and we're going to continue to do everything we can and be better because of it. So it's an experience. And I think a lot of what we're trying to do is we grow our program, at least, you know, when I say grow, I'm talking about in the last 2-3 years, just to build up. You know, we got to have experiences together. I think you can always talk about what other teams went through or what this program's done. But until you've been in the fight together and you have those experiences that you can draw on, good and bad, that's really what we can.
You only need a small dab to reduce the appearance.
All right,
of
and give me 2 seconds. Sorry, we got an ad break here. 2 seconds, and we'll be right back in 3, 2, and 1.
And what we can learn from, and I'm looking forward to that. We, you know, last year talked a lot about the season before and how we came up short and we weren't great in critical moments. And, you know, we were towards the bottom of the league in penalties and turnovers cost us, you know, in 2024 in the games we lost. And it was a big discrepancy between when we won and we lost the turnover margin. Last year, you know, we kind of righted the ship in those areas. And so we got to continue to make sure our strengths are our strengths. And we got to continue to take care of the weaknesses that showed up last year, anytime throughout the season. And again, it's a new group of guys this year. So, you know, you really start all over. You started over in January because the 40 plus guys, whether they're freshmen or transfers that were in the meeting room, the guys that were in workouts, they weren't part of that experience, but you quickly get them understanding, you know, what it's going to take to take those next steps here in our program.
How in this day and age did you manage to get a couple of quarterbacks who've been in your program for at least a year, you know, in Keelan's case, and Austin's been there for a long time, to stay and actually compete against one another?
No, I think that's a great question. I think I would give credit to both of those two, that, you know, Keelan and Austin are two guys that are competitive. There's two guys that really feel like they have a belief in themselves you know, each of them feeling that they can go win the job and that they can do what it takes to win here in Alabama. But I also would say that I think there's an environment in that room Because last year with Ty being involved, I mean, there was three guys competing, and you know, we continue to bring in more guys that want to be a part of it. Why do they want to be a part of it? They want to be a part of our program, of course. They want to be a part of our offensive system. But I think you know, Ryan Grubb and now Brian Ellis being in that room as the quarterback's coach. And I'll give Nick Sheridan some credit, too, for keeping those guys around and kind of Brian's now bridged the gap there as the new quarterback's coach. But I think it's just how what does it look like? And you're giving them opportunities. You're challenging them. They feel like they're getting better and reaching their potential. And you're giving them everything you got. And so they love their teammates. Their teammates love them back because they do stay, and they place priority on the most important things, and that's just being the best, bringing a great attitude and effort every single day.
What's the right size?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard the arguments from obviously all 12. I know it's 12, 16, and 24 seem to be the most popular, right? And so, you know, I mean, you can make an argument for all of them. You know, I know for me, it's really not about a number. It's about just trying to win every football game so we don't have to put it in a committee's hands. And, you know, that's our goal as a program at Alabama.
Kalen, you talked about physicality and looking at, I don't want to misquote you, but just looking to increase that. What does it look like for year three and increase the physicality from your guys?
Well, I think there's times when we were extremely physical. I think what you kind of get tied into is the run game, probably, right? And just how the inability in important times and consistently to be able to run the football. And so I think there's more than physicality, because I think there's some very physical individuals on our football team. I think we have a team full of them, honestly. I think there's an execution piece that has to take place, and that involves everyone from the offensive line to the tight ends and, you know, running backs and receivers doing their job and, you know, knowledge, right? There's knowledge to execute. A running back needs to know who's the unblocked defender, who's the guy he's got to beat to get an explosive play. And so I think there's a toughness, whether it's mental or physical, that is in our program. You know, we made the playoffs, so we got to look at the things that we did. We made the playoffs and won 7 of 8 SEC football games, went to a conference championship and won a playoff game. And so those things don't happen if you're not a tough football team in some regard. Now, we fell short of our goal, and so we understand there is more for us to accomplish when it comes to all those areas, whether it comes to the physicality or the execution. You know, we're working on chemistry right now with so many new faces compared to what we had a year ago. So, you know, I see our guys work every single day. And so I know they're strong. I know they want it. I know there's a toughness about them. There's a grit about them. They're, you know, last year's guys, I'd go to battle with those guys because of who they were every single time I possibly could, you know, and we're developing that with this team right now.
Kevin, when you get into that meeting room, what?
All right, so that was head coach Kalen DeBoer speaking to the media yesterday down in Destin at spring meetings. Now, that was about 60% of what he had to say, and I feel like it covered a number of topics, so I think that's good for now, Reed. But what we'll do is we'll hit a timeout, because when we come back, we'll respond to it, because I got a number of questions and things I want to discuss. He talked again about the physicality of the team, which has been a common theme of, I guess, the offseason regarding Alabama football that's been, I guess, dictated off of what people saw from them last football season. He talked about his preferences for the expansion of the playoffs, a number of other things. We'll respond when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge.
Can't wait to spend the day on the water. Redline Power Sports rents pontoons on Lake Tuscaloosa by calling 205-737-7425.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
This is what happens when you don't sponsor your job on Indeed. Next time, get matched with quality candidates with Indeed-sponsored jobs. Visit Indeed.com/hire now and sponsor your job today.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the
Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Moisture surging in from the south will trigger likely showers and storms this afternoon, reaching 86, which is right on target for our normal for this time of the year. Storms will remain a threat tonight, lows tonight near 70. Unsettled pattern continues through the rest of the week with a series of disturbances keeping rain chances high, 85 tomorrow, 82 on Friday. Richard DeWetting of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 81 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We just heard from head coach Kalen DeBoer and his press conference down in Destin, Florida, where the SEC spring meetings are taking place. Reed, we heard him touch on a number of different things there. He talked about, let's start from the beginning. He kind of talked about where things are and where things stand right now. The guys are back. You got workouts taking place. Summer program has officially begun here in Tuscaloosa, and he's excited about what they're building, what they can build off of from the spring. You got all the guys now currently on campus. Remember, there was several guys who weren't early enrollees. Now they're being assimilated into the team and workouts and all that good stuff. He talked about the signing class. Don't expect it to be very big this season, which makes sense when you look at this roster. He basically pointed to the fact that they only have 9 total seniors, man. So there's not much veteran presence on this team. Now, I shouldn't say it like that, because you do have a number of juniors, like he mentioned, guys with 2 years of eligibility remaining. So there are some veterans, but they don't have many seniors. There's not much seniority, which is kind of interesting. Very young team, I would assume, compared to most. But it sounded like he was alluding to the fact that that's one of the main reasons why they will not, in fact, have a large signing class this upcoming season. Also, when you look at the last two that they have had, right, to around top 5 or 6 classes, I would say. They've done a really nice job recruiting young core players that you assume they're going to retain, because their retention rate has been relatively high over the last couple of seasons. That said, when you think about a smaller class this time around, Reed, I mean, would you think it makes sense given kind of how they built this roster out? I think to me it kind of all, you know, makes perfect sense. You have 105 total scholarships now, but majority of your team are – you know, young football players, right? I mean, what do you think of the smaller class that they anticipate having?
Yeah, no, I think it makes complete sense, especially with the guys. And he pointed out, like, the guys that we went for in the portal were not guys that usually had, like, you know, 1 year of eligibility. Like, this is it for them, you know? He's bringing in a lot of guys from that portal that were also young. So I think it makes sense. And I think now, like, I've been saying that now this is year 3. And so majority, if not, I don't know exact percentages, but most of that roster now is fully based on him here in Tuscaloosa.
It is. And it almost makes me wonder if they, and I think I heard Clint talking about this. I think maybe it was from today's show. I can't remember, because sometimes I just have YouTube playing. And I can't remember. He was saying something about, like, there's another article where they basically, it alludes that they're going to start maybe taking the portal approach a little bit differently and really trying to up the ante on some of those players that they plan on targeting? I feel like they probably should have been doing that, especially in a year like this. We just talked about, okay, you only have 9 total seniors. And I don't know why the offseason approach this time around wouldn't have been, okay, yeah, we've got 2 really good recruiting class over the last couple of years. Those guys are still young. Let's pair up some more vets from the portal. But like you mentioned, like he was kind of alluding to, a lot of the guys they brought in still were also young. So in terms of looking ahead, it's beneficial. But right now, it makes you wonder if you're a little bit at a disadvantage while you wait for some of that experience to brew a little bit. One other thing he mentioned was, you know, the playoff expansion, gave his thoughts, just a very, I guess, generic answer there, which I'm fine with. I know some people wanted to hear him give his honest take, like, oh, I want 24, I want 16. He basically said, at the end of the day, it's about winning as many games as possible. That way we can, you know, control our own destiny. We don't have to rely so much on, I guess, you know, the committee, right? Your thoughts on that? I mean, I think it makes perfect sense. If anything, if I was the head coach answering that question, I probably would say the same thing, unless there truly was, I guess, a preference that I had that I felt that I could maybe express some conviction to help maybe move the needle. I don't think it really matters at this point, 16, 20, 24. If you don't have a preference, you don't have one. And even if he did, I mean, I don't, I really, I believe him when he said that. What about you? I mean, I think it's just like, hey, whether it's 12 or 24, we just know we need to win as many football games as possible.
Yeah, Christian, I'm with you there. I think that unless, like you alluded to, unless there was a specific format, whether it was 12, 16, or 24, that he knew would give his team a significant advantage, which, like you said, he could make a case for all of them. So I was completely fine with him not taking a stance or really saying that he has a preference over one over the other two.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there as well. Then last but not least, the other piece I wanted to throw out there was, we just were talking about this, they asked him about what is the physicality portion of, you know, the improvement look like in year 3. And I'll be honest, man, the answer that I heard is it wasn't, to me, it started going into like the execution portion. And well, I think people probably just, you know, are saying that because of the lack of our running game, the inability to run the football. But as somebody that just like watches a lot of football, like watching the tape, I go back and watch, I just don't see how, especially him being the coach, right? I know he sees them every day, and I talked about this during the break. Like, yes, I've seen them at practice be physical. I've seen them have, you know, some guys that appear to kind of have a little bit of that to them. I mean, Reuben Foster was on the show. He gave his stamp of approval to some of the linebackers. I don't think anybody's saying that they just don't have an ounce of physicality in them. But at the end of the day, it's about, you know, your reputation. And how do you build a reputation, Reed? It's not about doing something one time. It's about what you do on a consistent basis, right? I mean, if we're talking about golf and I just go, you know, golf one great game one time, I mean, sure, maybe if people have never met me, they might think I'm a great golfer. But really, if I want a reputation to be a good golfer, every time people see me or they play with me, you know, I'm scoring really well. You know, that builds up over time. I don't think it was just the inability to run the ball. Like I said, I've been watching the tape, and I just, you know, the offensive line did not consistently get good push. Defensive line, there was times that we just weren't consistently playing on the other side of the line of scrimmage. Linebacker play was not consistent in terms of putting a hat on the hat, striking guys, playing downhill. That, to me, I mean, I think it's just evidence. So I was just kind of confused with his answer on that one, to be honest with you. Now, I get it. He's going to want to paint his team in the best light possible. Makes total sense there. I mean, clearly. But, I mean, what did you think of his answer regarding the physicality in year 3, Reed?
Well, I think kind of like you were explaining really during the commercial break, how he kind of drifted the conversation more toward an execution standpoint. And really, I was starting to think when I read that, like I saw everything that he said in this press conference yesterday, and it really made me think is, I wonder if he's kind of getting tired of this whole perception of, you know, the physicality standpoint, and that maybe, you know, some of these media people, fans are taking away of what they accomplished last season. I don't think that's the case, right? We acknowledge that they finished the regular season at the top of the SEC. They made an SEC championship game appearance, and they won a playoff game. We're not, you know, denying any of that. I think those were great accomplishments in year 2. But it's like you pointed out, it's the inconsistency in the physicality. Because there was points, I'll agree with him, that – they showed a high, right? But then there was also those low lows. It's mainly trying to find that middle ground and keeping that consistency from the start to the finish of the season.
100%. I mean, there are some games where, I mean, like when you go and beat Georgia on the road in Athens, I mean, again, I know I was breaking that game down, watching the defense specifically, but there are some moments there, you know, good, also some bad moments. I remember offensively, though, we didn't run the ball terrible in that game. Matter of fact, when it really came down to it, you know, 4-minute drill in the second half to really close things out, we did run it pretty well. And there's a couple other games where you saw some moments, but I just, yeah, I don't know, man. Just, I don't know. I hear what you're saying. I think that's exactly probably where it's coming from, right? You know, I can either, A, sit there and just keep going along with the same question and keep furthering the narrative, which, you know, which is a part of it. I mean, like, if you're just being honest, but I also could understand where people do this all the time, whether you're saying it's a political answer or what, you want to put out your own narrative, right? And to do that, somebody might ask you a question. Think about it. Politicians, everybody does this. You ask one question, but the person giving the answer already knows in their mind, this is the narrative that I want to drive. So regardless of or not, if I'm answering this question, this is what I'm going to say because it's predetermined. And like you mentioned, he's pointing out some of the positives, which, to be fair, I don't know if he's done that enough. I think that he probably could have done a better job, you know, in the past, kind of pointing out some of those positives that they've done. And I think now he's doing that. For me, it's just like the question was, how's the physicality going to look different in year three? And it's like, man, I don't know. My biggest thing is I want to see it. You know what I mean? Like, just own it, acknowledge it. It was what it was, man. Like, yeah, we made it to the SEC championship, but we also had the worst rushing statistics last year that we've had since, like, World War II. Right? I mean, two things can be true. So I'm just, the way I'm like, I just like to own it, acknowledge it, and let's fix it.
Christian, it kind of reminds me of the conversation that we had with Adam regarding, would you rather have that 9-3 physical team, like there was no dispute of, you know, that physicality was there, or would you rather have that 10-2 team that, you know, maybe we kind of question its inconsistencies, but they're getting the job done? You know, it does, because that's at least the narrative that as soon as I heard that answer, that's at least what I went to.
Yeah, and honestly, the more I think about it, it could also been, well, in his mind, he thinks everybody thinks that just because of the failed running game. And so when he started drifting into the execution piece, he's not wrong with that. Like, we didn't fail at running the football consistently only because we weren't a super physical football team. He's 100% right. I mean, remember, we every week we break down these football games on this show. If you guys haven't been here long enough, you guys know during the season, every single Monday we do a film breakdown on these games. And I've always pointed that out. You know, it always felt like we were one guy away from success on the ground, right? One guy didn't climb up, you know, correctly. One guy didn't, which started with the steps that he was taking, and he didn't get his hat across, and he couldn't climb to the front side backer. The tight end, you know, didn't do a good enough job in the C area. That guy, you know, squirted through, and next thing you know, he's already in the backfield making a tackle for loss. The running back was supposed to press this hole, and he didn't see it. Like, he's not wrong when we're talking about the running game. But when you're just talking about physicality, that's its own deal, right? That's its own deal. And to me, take away the lack of running the football, take away the lack of execution, there still was a problem with the physicality and toughness of this team, right? The Indiana game, that wasn't just a matter of, oh, we didn't execute. We got our ass kicked and we looked like we tucked our tails. I mean, unless I'm watching something different, I know I watch the Spanish broadcast to practice my Spanish. The announcers might be different, but the picture is the same. I did actually watch that game in Spanish. I'm not kidding.
Results are still clear.
Results are still clear, and the picture's still the same. The comentaristas están hablando en otro idioma, but everything else is the same. Do you understand? ¿Me entiendes? It's all the same. It's all the same. Anyway, that said, we got to hit a timeout. I want to get y'all's thoughts on that. Plus 205-342-9904 is the number. We're open. We got Smitty up next. Want to hear what he has to say. I already know, man. Smitty is like, Smitty's going to play defense like Rondo. So I'm already ready for it. I want to hear what he's got to say. Anybody else want to get on the conversations? We always encourage you guys to do that. 205-342-9904. Hey, and if you guys want to join us on the stream, come hang out at the Miller's Edge on YouTube, on X, and all other platforms as well as I can't speak. All right, we got it.
It's a Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, Tuscaloosa's destination for iconic Jeeps. Owner loyalty earns $1,500 cash back on a new 2026 Jeep Grand Cherokee.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Mike Dettillier. We'll talk to Aaron Torres. We'll talk to Nick Kelly live from SEC Spring Meetings. Coming up starting at 2 p.m. on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites, from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info
at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
ZipRecruiter.
The flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide football.
Alabama touchdown.
Only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
And welcome back into this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We got Smitty up next on the phone line. Smitty, welcome in.
How's it going, Christian? How you doing today?
Oh, man, I'm doing great, brother. How's everything?
Good. You got to check that tweet I tagged you in about, like, they're putting in some rules, proposals for this new bill and stuff. And the one thing I did like was, like, a 5% agent fee. Because you know this, Christian. There's no reason these air quote agents, and I call most of them guys that's trying to hit a lick, should be getting 20-30%. You know, and I think that was one thing I liked, because you know that, Christian, you was in the league, your agent took 3%, right?
Yeah, and I was going to say, so we mentioned this early on in the show. I didn't go into detail on it, but you're right, that was, and I said that was one thing that stood out to me, because I wasn't aware of that in this whole conversation. But no, I do think that's very fair in terms of looking out for the athletes, because you were 1,000% correct. No disrespect to anybody that I know that is in the agency world nowadays, especially covering NIL. But, and I don't know if people know this, you clearly do, but you're right. In the NFL, I mean, the max the agents are charging these athletes is 3%. Now, granted, that's to cover any contractual, I guess, obligations, right? So if they're working a deal on a contract, it's 3% at the most. And there's really a sliding scale. So it's normally a first round pick, 1%, second round pick, 2%. And then like third and beyond is 3%. However, when it comes to marketing deals, so if you have a full service agency, which encompasses everything that's, you know, your contracts, but also if they're going to be covering, you know, getting you endorsements off the field, those are separate. So for me, it was 3% for my contracts. And excuse me, it was like, I think 20% if they got me an endorsement off the field. So if they went and got me an endorsement with Traeger Grills and they're paying me $10,000 to do something, they would get 20% of that. However, in college, the way it was working was, since everything was under the NIL umbrella, that basically meant that everything was considered a marketing deal. So they were charging anywhere from 10 to 20% for everything. So even when they would negotiate these NIL contracts, which really were more in line with the true standard contract that NFL agents were making at the most 3%, they were able to make 10-20% off of these young athletes' deals, which was highway robbery. And I don't think a lot of people really understood that. And that was a big issue. So I do agree with you. That is actually, so for the people complaining about them, you know, getting involved, that is in the student athlete's best interest. And that's a very big deal. So I agree with you.
Yeah, and there have been stories over the years where a player had an agent and they signed, that agent, air quotes, could get a percentage of their pro money also. And so I think that right there can protect them because, let's be real, most of us aren't Adam Lamparello, you know. We don't know all the tricks of the trade. So just being real about that. So somebody slipped that in, that could really hurt these people, especially this may be their one chance to make some money. And I like the fact they talk about the Kiffin rule. Yeah, because I remember when coaches left Coach Saban's staff, they saw it through to the end. you can still do your work. Now, the one thing I remember, you got to watch The Art of Coaching on HBO Max. It was when Tool was there, so you probably was there too, where Saban and Belichick was talking about things. And Belichick always said, I think Coach Saban kind of had this as well, where Saban didn't take any of Belichick's coaches. But when people left Coach Saban's staff, they were taking position coaches, everything. And I think that takes a toll also because you got to hire those people. But one thing, though, like y'all were talking about like the SEC media days. Here's my thing. Folks said Kayla DeBoer and them should stop talking. I'm not talking about U.S. Alabama fans in general. Stop talking. We want to see you on the field. Now when he talks, we don't like the answer. Which one is the people?
I mean, both to be true, though, a little bit, right? I mean, let's take it back. Let me ask you, what did you think of it? Personally, what did you think of the answer about physicality in year three? What did you make of that?
I just don't think he's a great public speaker. I just being honest with you. Some people just aren't, you know. Let's just be real here. Saban was great, but he will cuss you out also, you know, and preach to you. But I just don't think he's a great public speaker. And so, I'll play devil's advocate here. Maybe he's tired of being asked the question. You know, it's kind of like that time when Maria Taylor asked Saban about the quarterback. And he said, I'm tired of answering the question, pretty much. I just think sometimes, and I think, like you always say, the players are angry at themselves, and we know the coaches are angrier at themselves also. And the reason I just see it on the field to see make progress, because I don't care about your answers. Because you'll get coach speak most of the time anyway. Case in point, my coach at Tampa Bay, Todd Bowles, that man's drier than a rice cake. he ain't getting nothing out of here. That man is drier than Lincoln Riley's brisket. If you know, you know. You see that picture. but here's the thing. I think with him, I think like you guys said earlier, I did agree with what you guys said. At the very beginning, you got to highlight your positives also because we are harping on too much of that as well. The bad that happened. And I do think it's like, guys, not you per se, I'm speaking in general here. Guys, we also beat Georgia. You know? True. And it's like that got lost. Texas has been stuffed in a locker three times against Georgia. Lane Kiffin did beat Georgia at home, but, you know, they lost most of the time against Georgia. And so, and like Oklahoma, one up there where the whole world wanted Alabama to lose, and they came back from being down. Now, Kirby Smart was down 17 and came back. They say championship medal. That's Georgia pride. That's Georgia grit. We heard that. I just think what they have to do is just, may have to, it's like if people aren't physical, like you said, like offensive line not get to a second level. That was something I peeked out. You're not executing, you're not being physical. Maybe you have to make a statement by sitting people down. I think that may be the only way with certain guys because that's what you got to do. If they transfer, they just transfer. You help them get a bus to the airport. But sometimes you may have to sit that person. And I tell you the most disappointing thing I saw last year, and no one ever talked about it. If you go back and watch that Georgia SEC championship game, the whistle blew, and the Georgia defensive lineman pushed Ty Simpson down. I'm like, ain't no offensive lineman going to try to fight this dude? you know?
I remember that.
That was something that really ticked me off. And I don't really get worked up about nothing. And I was like, we got to replace some of these guys right there. That's what I was thinking. But yeah. I just think, like, with this team, they fired the offensive line coach that everybody hated. Got a new tight end coach who's more of an offensive line guy. Now, I think he and the whole nation learned a lesson about this Hollywood's Mother's thing, because no one knew about that stuff. You talked to recruiting guys and they didn't know, you know? And he couldn't get an answer. And so you notice, when some of these guys on campus, they locking them down before they leave after that, because you kind of notice the kind of canary in the coal mine. I just think, like, with us, right, in this team, if the young guy is more physical than a veteran guy, I'd rather go with the young guy. You know, I look at someone like Justin Hill, young guy, physical. Hey, I remember you were saying, breaking him down, we could work with this, you know? Or like Dijon Lee, you could work with this.
Yeah.
Hey, Christian, they're going to make freshman mistakes, but I'd rather you make freshman mistakes being physical and put your head in there. Like a QB Reese, who ain't that big, but y'all say he put his head in there, he's physical. I would rather go down with that.
And my last thing
on this is, thanks for taking my call. I like the fact that, like, they taking a smaller class, right? Because retention. But with the portal, one thing about the portal also, you can only take what the portal gives. And some players ain't there for competition in the portal. They're there to get a guaranteed starting spot. And I always go back to when Coach Saban brought in Coker. Everybody thought Coker was going to start, but Blake Sills beat him out. And you were on campus then, right?
Yeah, that was my 2014. Yeah, Blake Sims beat Coker out after transfer from Florida State. I remember that.
And so what happens is, if you just started him and, you know, Blake Sims beat him out, you lose your team. And I think that's a delicate balance in today, where you have, if you go bring in a transfer, you might have to start him, especially the veteran transfer in a certain position. But if that guy ain't good enough, you're going to have to be honest with yourself and that team and say, hey, we're going to start this other guy who may not make as much money as a transfer, but he's better. And I think that's a balance there as well. But I know you got to run. Thanks for taking my call as always. And keep up the great work, good brother.
Absolutely, man. Good stuff, Smitty. We appreciate you, man. Always good to hear from our guy, Smitty. We got to hit a quick timeout. We come back. We got Carson, and then we'll wrap things up on this Wednesday edition right here on the Miller's Edge. Todd
Worst quality ingredients. We want to say, that sounds great. We've been doing that since 1974.
Under the biggest cactus in town, Taco Casa.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are CWP to learn more. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner. VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Moisture surging in from the south will trigger likely showers and storms this afternoon, reaching 86, which is right on target for our normal for this time of the year. Storms will remain a threat tonight. Lows tonight near 70. Unsettled pattern continues through the rest of the week with a series of disturbances keeping rain chances high. 85 tomorrow, 82 on Friday. Richard DeWetting of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 80 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9. For more coverage of Alabama football, visit us at Tide100.9.com or download the free Tide 100.9 app.
The Crimson Tide will not be denied.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. All right, we got Carson up next. Carson, welcome in.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Good, man. It's been a while, man. How's everything going?
Good, man. Just dealing with it. Man, I've been busy with the house, man. We're trying to get the baby's room ready and all that stuff. So it's been a tornado in my house.
Man, I can imagine. I can imagine, man. Well, good to hear from you, man. What's on your mind today?
Not much. I was just going to respond to the prompt of physicality and execution, you know. I don't know if I'm going to read too much into it, to be honest with you. I mean, look, we'll find out. I mean, we'll really see what happens this fall when it comes to physicality and execution. In my opinion, I'm not going to read too much into DeBoer and what he says about it, because I'm sure he's tired of the question. And not to knock any reporter or the media and their jobs, because I know they work hard at what they do, but I think there is an aspect of the question that is like every time the run game gets brought up or the lack of production gets brought up, it always comes down to physicality in the question. While I agree with you, and I agree from watching on the screen that, hey, there are times when we aren't physical, sure. But I just think maybe Coach DeBoer is probably tired of hearing that be the only thing that people bring up about, especially the running game and getting production in the running game, is the physicality. It's like, wait, there's other parts to this, right? Where it's like the execution has to be better too, because like you mentioned, there's bad technique. There's, you know, guys not getting to the second level. There's guys missing assignments, bad hand placement, bad leverage. You know, all of these things where I think if you execute better, you can play with more physicality. So that's not to say that we don't need to be more physical, but I just think if you clean up some of the execution and technique, you start to see you start to see more physicality because you're playing the right way and you're doing the job that you're supposed to be doing. So, you know, time will only tell. With Adrian Klemm coming in, I think we've addressed the issue. We'll just see how it shakes out.
They've always said, right? I mean, you can't play fast unless you know what you're doing, right? And what slows a player down more than almost anything, even physically, is when you have no clue on what the hell you're supposed to be doing. So that is first and foremost. Right. You're right. But yeah, and I totally understand that sentiment, because I agree. And I've always pointed that out. That's why I made the comment earlier. Like, the running game was not only due to a lack of physicality. I mean, if anything, I don't know what the percentage would be, but there was a large piece of it that was contributed to the fact that they just did not execute. And I get that's why he wants to make sure that's clear, because it probably is frustrating and annoying when all you hear about is, oh, the team is soft, there's a lack of physicality, and that's why we couldn't run the ball. My thing was, for me, when I think of the lack of physicality, I don't really think of that piece. I think of it on defense as well. I think of it even just from a mentality standpoint, when you're watching other team kick your teeth in and there just doesn't seem much life or fight there. That to me is an alarm going off. You know what I mean? So if you're talking about the run game specifically, I definitely agree with what you're saying, Carson. However, I wish, again, I think in a perfect world, and I'm not going to sit there and overly critique him, but I just think you just say, we weren't physical enough at times last year. That's something that we need to look to improve this year. But we also were able to accomplish some good things last year, and we're looking to build off of the positives that we did while also considering it and really attacking the things that we know we struggle with, like some of the physicality piece at times. Boom. Right. I mean, you basically hit
that's
both
it.
Of them.
No, you're right.
Done. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, and it's done. Leave it like that. And I think you make everybody happy there. But again, that's neither here nor there. But Carson, good to hear from you. I hate that it's quick, because we got to close things out. But make sure you call us back so we can play more time next time, brother.
Nah, man. Thank you for taking my call, buddy. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Roll Tide. That'll do it for us on this Wednesday edition. Big thanks to everybody tuning in and making this possible. Of course, our friends over at Lamparillo Law, lamparillo-law.com. Make sure you guys check them out right now. New website is launched, up and running. Legal representation. They do it in a first-class manner. They're relentless. But most importantly, they're affordable. So check them out. Lamparillo-law.com, the official representation for us here on the show. But also even more services, academic and career planning, subject matter mastery, and of course, exam and test taking preparation for all those high school, college, and graduate students. Make sure you guys check them out right now. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, lamparello-law.com. And shout out to Adam, man. Still showing love with the Super Chats, man. He is an animal when it comes to supporting the show. That's why we enjoy these nice plush Lamparello Law studios. That'll do it for us on this Wednesday edition. We'll be back tomorrow for a Thursday. And we'll be joined by Adam right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.